Did.
Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, April 9th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says former Vice President Joyce Mujuru will contest the 2018 presidential elections, representing what he calls the original ZANU-PF.
We are ZANU-PF will be dead and buried. That we can assure you. What is on the ground, there is so much excitement about ZANU-PF people first. Everyone is talking about it.
A former chairman of the MDC, led by Professor Welshman Ncube Goodrich Chimbaira, who was suspended from the party yesterday, today rejoined the MDCT.
The MDC, led by Professor Ncube, was no longer a political party. Professor Welshman was just running that party like his personal team. So I decided to go back to the original MDC.
And the High Court has granted the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions permission to stage national protests against the country's crippling economic downturn.
Everything now is in place. Workers are ready to demonstrate and to show their frustration to the government. They want to be heard. It's going to be a peaceful demonstration.
Expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo has vowed that former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was expelled from the party by the Politburo last week, will contest the 2018 presidential elections, representing what he calls the original ZANU-PF. Mrs. Mujuru might end up facing President Robert Mugabe, who has already been declared the ZANU-PF candidate by the party unopposed. Mr. Mugabe will be 94 years old at the time. The ZANU-PF Politburo, chaired by Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko, expelled Mrs. Mujuru, accusing her and her late husband, Liberation War icon General Solomon Mujuru, of plotting to assassinate President Robert Mugabe. Mrs. Mujuru is also accused of corruption and other vices. She has dismissed all these allegations. She released a statement which Gumbo read in part to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Am I Dr. J.T. Aramujuru's response to the Politburo's decision to expel her? That is the heading. The statement goes as follows. On the eve of the holiest day on the Christian calendar, the PB chose to dwell on its relentless, unsubstantiated, malicious, and a hateful campaign against the person of Amai Mujuru. As if this was not human enough, the much decorated national hero, the late General Mujuru, who passed on in yet unclear circumstances, was not spared as well. It is un-Zimbabwean to desecrate our dearly departed. One wonders if the PB ever spared any moment to inquire on the disappearance or a lack of clues on the whereabouts of young Itai Zamara and what his young family is going through. My prayers go to all those who are hurting in silence. Given the prevailing economic hardships, the looming food crisis, and the declining inflows to the fiscus, the PB's silence on these matters is deafening.
That was expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in Harare. Acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa yesterday dismissed the rumors that ZANU-PF will split into two as false. Mnangagwa told party supporters at Mucheke Stadium in Maswingo that Mrs. Mujuru and her allies were wasting their time trying to take the party to court.
But Gumbo also told Studio 7 that they will not allow the party to be hijacked. He says they are working with like-minded people to challenge the ZANU-PF hegemony.
The 2014 ZANU-PF, for all intents and purposes, is dead. Come 2018, their ZANU-PF will be dead and buried. They will go the UDP way, and once they go down, they will never come back. That we can assure you. What is on the ground? There is so much excitement about ZANU-PF people first. Everyone is talking about it.
So are we likely to see Amem Juru contesting in 2018 in the presidential poll?
There's no question about it. If the situation remains as it is, he's going to contest.
And have you tried to bring other disgruntled members or some other parties to this coalition that you are trying to build? What's happening?
We are working with all democratic forces in our society. We engage people with us. They wanted to be involved in one way or the other. So what we do next is our business. We are not going to tell you how we are going to operate. But as it is, the response has been amazing.
That was expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in Harare. Efforts to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo or Mnangagwa were futile as their mobile phones went unanswered. But Politburo member Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana reiterated Mnangagwa's assertion that Ms. Mujuru's allies are misguided.
The party is an organization made up of current members who will be sharing the same ideology and views, agreeing on a way of handling whatever issues they've formed that party for. So no one can have permanency in a party because it depends with what the members who are currently in office are deciding to do. But if you are outside ZANU-PF, I'm sorry to say it's cold out there. You won't have that following. You can only have that following because you are part of the train of ZANU-PF. So I would have asked my colleagues, Comrade Gare Gumbo went through it before, that when you are expelled from the party, it's not forever. You can still come back, but you must show remorse, accept the wrongs which you have done, and you can come back to the party and they will accept you. So if they want to go the route of forming a party and contesting 2018 election with their presidential candidates, Maim Juru, the constitution of the country allows them to do so. It's their choice. But I'm sorry to say, I don't think you achieve what they think you achieve.
Lastly, how about their accusations that there's a lot of misdirected anger in the Politburo in that you focus attacking Maim Juru and you are not dealing with the food crisis and the alleged abduction of Zamara?
No. Everybody is working towards resolving the country's current challenges.
That was ZANU-PF Politburo member Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
A former chairman of the MDC led by Professor Welshman Ncube Goodrich Chimbaira, who was suspended from the party yesterday, rejoined the MDC today. Addressing a press conference at Harvest House, where he was welcomed by party leader Morgan Tsvangirai, Chimbaira accused Ncube of dictatorial tendencies. The Ncube MDC kicked him out yesterday on charges of violating the party constitution and recruiting members for the MDCT. Chimbaira tells Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo he decided to join the MDCT after meeting with Mr. Tsvangirai 2 weeks ago. He says that his suspension was a preemptive strike.
Well, I met the president, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, 2 weeks ago, and we arranged that we were going to have a press conference today. And I think this guy has got the wind that we were going to have a press conference today. That's why they sent the suspension letter yesterday.
Why did you decide to join the MDCT?
people have been coming to me telling me that I should go back to the People's Party. The MDC led by Professor Nnyimbe was no longer a political party. Professor Osimhen was just running that party like his personal team. So I decided to go back to the original MDC.
Given this development, Mr. Chimbaira, is it not fair to say that the MDC is vindicated that you've been working or trying to recruit members to join the MDCT?
No, it's false. I never tried to recruit anyone. If those who say that I tried to recruit them, they should come out and say it.
When you met with Mr. Tsvangirai 2 weeks ago, what did you talk about?
Well, we discussed a lot of things. That there was need for people to come together so that if we work together, we will be able to make sure that the change that we desire will come.
That was former Ncube MDC Chairman Goodrich Chimbaira, who joined the MDCT today, speaking with Studio 7.
Ntungamili Nkomo also reached
that Mr. Goodrich Chimbaira, he has been doing double dipping for some time now, and he did not.
We are sorry for that. But also, Ntungamili spoke with MDC Ncube Deputy President Edwin Mushoriwa, who applauded his party's disciplinary committee for getting rid of Chimbaira.
We have always suspected that Mr. Goodrich Chimbaira, he has been doing double dipping for some time now, and it did not come as a surprise that as soon as he was suspended by the disciplinary committee, the following day he then went straight into the arms of Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai. We believe that as a party we would understand and stop people from exercising their democratic rights and their rights of association. But we also believe that this type of politicking, of double dipping and doing what Mr. Chimbaira has been doing is unfortunate. But nevertheless, we wish him all the best in his new home.
All doesn't seem to be well in your party, Mr. Mushoriwa. What is going on?
The truth of the matter that is there is not a lot of disagreement in the party. What is happening in the party that is the mere fact that we have got one or two people that have decided to leave the party, primarily because they've been promised something in another camp, does not necessarily mean that there is a problem. The MDC is a strong party, a party that is well represented in the 12 political provinces and the 210 districts of this country.
Ncube MDC Deputy President Edwin Mushoriwa on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare.
Zimbabwe celebrates 35 years of independence on April 18. Starting Monday, Studio 7 will highlight some of the country's achievements and failures. Don't be left out. Send us a text or voice message on WhatsApp. Our number is 001-202-465-0318. You can also send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, and email. Our email address is studio7@voanews.com. The email address again, Studio7@voanews.com.
The United States says it remains concerned about political activist Itai Dzamara's whereabouts and well-being. In a statement today, the U.S. Embassy in Harare called for the immediate and safe return to his family and friends. The embassy said the United States stands together with Dzamara and the people of Zimbabwe in supporting their right to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. It reiterated its call to the Zimbabwean authorities to mobilize their full resources to investigate the circumstances surrounding Dzamara's alleged abduction and to ensure the protection of his fundamental human rights and freedoms. Zamara, who is the leader of the Occupy Africa Unity Square, calling for President Robert Mugabe to resign for what it says is his inability to properly run Zimbabwe, was allegedly abducted by state security agents a month ago. The High Court has granted the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions a permission to stage national protests against the country's crippling economic downturn following the police refusal to allow its public demonstrations. The ZCTU sought the court's intervention after the police in some cities refused to grant the organization permission to stage the peaceful protests. ZCTU Acting Information Officer Lasti Tarabuku told Studio 7 they are now ready to protest against the current harsh economic environment, which has left most workers jobless.
Everything now is in place. Workers are ready to demonstrate and to show their frustration to the government. They want to be heard. It's going to be a peaceful demonstration. Workers are going to march peacefully from centers around the country to either the Minister of Labor or the resident ministers, where they are going to hand in their petition.
The police had initially denied you permission to demonstrate in other centers except for Harare. What has prompted them to change their mind?
We are not quite sure, but we think our application to the High Court has also influenced them to change their minds.
Did you get the clearance from the police in writing so that come Saturday you have something to show when they want to try and stop you from going ahead?
Yes, in some centers we've written permissions from the police, but there are some centers where we did not get the permission, and the High Court ruling will cover so that.
That was Lasti Tarabuku, acting ZCTU Information Officer, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Meanwhile, ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says the Zimbabwe Youth in Action has told the organization to stop the proposed Saturday protests, saying without elaboration that they will deal with them. The youth group is suspected to be affiliated to the ruling ZANU-PF party. Leaders of the organization were not reachable for comment.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at President Robert Mugabe's official visit to South Africa.
And married women urged to co-sign documents whenever a family purchases valuable property.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says Washington is very concerned at Iran's support for Shia rebels in Yemen after reports suggested an Iranian naval fleet was headed near the Persian Gulf country.
A group of Taliban suicide bombers armed with automatic weapons and dressed in military uniforms stormed a courthouse in northern Afghanistan Thursday, killing at least 5 people and wounding up to 30 others.
After convicting Chechen immigrant Jokhar Tsarnaev of the deadly 2013 Boston Marathon bombings, jurors will take a few days off before deciding whether to sentence him to death or life in prison.
The United Nations has launched an appeal for $111 million to help a vast portion of North Korea's population now facing a food crisis.
And the witness who recorded the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man by a white police officer in the southeastern U.S. city state of North Charleston, South Carolina last week says he initially considered erasing the video from his cell phone.
During his first state visit to South Africa in more than two decades, President Robert Mugabe showered praises on President Jacob Zuma for his nation's strong economy and his accommodation of the millions of Zimbabweans seeking political and economic refuge there. President Mugabe also touched on land reform, a move yet to be undertaken by South Africa despite simmering tensions around it over the years. For perspectives on the significance of the visit and Studio 7's Ndimiake Ngwakalele turned to analysts Maurice Ngwenya and Professor Shadrack Guto.
After these last elections, I think that it has meant that the world has to accept Zimbabwe as it is. We have seen investors from Australia, from China, from the US, the European Union member countries and the European Union and so on. So South Africa cannot just sit by, because South Africa can benefit with trade with Zimbabwe, with investments and so on.
Mr. Ngwenya, President Mugabe going to South Africa, what in your opinion is the significance of that?
It is important that we realize that people from the West, from the East, be it United States of America, Europe, are coming in to talk about investment. Therefore, South Africa is such an important investment partner. We need to also to be seen to be doing the same thing. And I think what the South African government has done is very crucial.
Professor Guto, we've been hearing a lot about some deals between Zimbabwe and South Africa. What do you foresee coming out of this visit in terms of investment? There are rumors that President Mugabe is actually seeking financial assistance from South Africa. What do you know?
So far, they will not declare that South Africa has agreed to provide finances. I think that more of it is going to be on a business side. And of course, South Africa has many state-owned enterprises which can invest in Zimbabwe. South Africa has shortages of electric power and so on, and can buy some from Zimbabwe. Infrastructural development, you know, Zimbabwe used to have very good roads and so on. Now they are full of potholes. And that is an area where South African construction companies and so on would like to move in. Of course, Zimbabwe was a breadbasket and it ought to go back to that level. And that requires a lot of investment in agribusiness and so on. As I already mentioned, the president was thanking South Africa for giving a home to probably a few million and more of Zimbabweans who had to escape from Zimbabwe because of the economic crisis there, and some because of state-sponsored violence in the country.
Mr. Ngwenya, as Professor Guto has just mentioned, President Mugabe did acknowledge the millions of Zimbabweans who are in South Africa. Some would look at it as an irony that President Mugabe is thanking South Africa for keeping Zimbabweans there, who, as we speak, there are some who are resisting returning to Zimbabwe, citing issues of persecution and economic hardships.
Yes, that is a very right, justified call, because some people only choose to look at Zimbabwe as who are not doing any professional or meaningful job in that country, and they consider them a burden. But they forget that there are so many Zimbabweans who have contributed immensely to the economy of South Africa. We are talking about all the professionals that have left this country, that you find doing all sorts of researches and development of that economy. But besides that, as neighbors and brothers, I think it would be good that we consider taking care of each other, looking at the fact that, yes, the Zimbabwean economy is not doing well, certainly because of the deliberate sanctions that were imposed on Zimbabwe by the West.
I want to turn to the issue of land, which President Mugabe brought up while in South Africa, which many say is also just a question of time before they have to address the land issue, as was done in Zimbabwe. Professor Guto.
Well, South Africa has to address the question. It is burying its head in the sand for now. But for Zimbabwe, I think the question of land had to be addressed. The British, at the Lancaster House negotiations in 1979 and so on, did promise that they were going to help settle people on land, but they didn't give sufficient support to the government for land reform in Zimbabwe. So things kept getting worse and worse until people got fed up and so on. It can't be reversed. The question is how to make the land productive and also to remove it from being accumulated in the hands of a few stooges and cronies of the ruling party and be given to the people who need to use it.
Mr. Ngwenya, what are your thoughts on that? And also the fact that President Mugabe did not too long ago acknowledge that land reform was not as successful as he had hoped.
But my honest opinion on this is that I see the land question in South Africa being a very difficult to address, just like what was done in Zimbabwe, because here clearly the imbalances were on racial grounds. That is why it was, although it was a bit difficult, but the country has managed to address the imbalances. Therefore, I don't think South Africa will so successfully address the land imbalances because of the large population of the white.
Professor Shadrack Gutto of the Institute for African Renaissance in Pretoria, South Africa. Earlier you heard from political analyst and ZANU-PF member Morris Ngwenya, based in Harare. Both spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalele.
A women's rights organization, the Musasa Project, says women should always safeguard themselves when getting married through understanding laws governing the institution of marriage. Leon Nez, who is the project's legal aid department, tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, legally married women should co-sign documents with their husbands whenever they purchase property and other valuable items.
There are three different types of marriages in Zimbabwe. The first one is Chapter 5.11. This is the legally registered union that entitles a man to get married to one woman. And then the second one is Chapter 5.07, which allows polygamy, which means a man can have more than one wife. And then the third one is the legally registered customary union, which means people get married according to their customary or traditional rights in the community. And as long as they are recognized as a spouse, that union is legally recognized.
Before a woman gets married, what would you advise them to do, especially when it comes to knowing the exact type of marriage they should be entering into to protect themselves?
Before a woman gets married, they need to know what they are trying to achieve from that union. So if they do decide to take the 5.11, legally they need to know what is in store for them and look out and how much protection they have. So I guess that follows for every single union. Get as much information as necessary as a woman so that you know what it entails and, most importantly, how much legal protection you have later on in the union, maybe be it in claims of property sharing or acquiring property together or other various legal things that may come along the way.
That was Lionel Nez of the Musasa Project Legal Aid Department speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare.
And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Just over a year ago, elements of the Russian armed forces, masked and outfitted in unmarked uniforms, seized control of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in clear violation of international law. Subsequently, Russian-backed local authorities conducted an illegal, unconstitutional referendum, immediately followed by a declaration of independence from Ukraine by the newly installed Supreme Council of Crimea. On March 18th, the Russian Federation's attempted annexation of the Crimean Peninsula was announced. From beginning to end, Russia's conduct in this process has been contrary to various treaties and international instruments, including the 1994 Budapest Memorandum. In this memorandum, Russia, the United States, and the United Kingdom reaffirmed their obligations under the UN Charter to respect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. They also reaffirmed their similar commitments to respect Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity under the terms of the Helsinki Final Act.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Roundtable will be talking with listeners and experts about married women's rights.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says former Vice President Joyce Mujuru will contest the 2018 presidential elections representing what he calls the original ZANU-PF.
A former chairman of the Movement for Democratic Change, led by Professor Welshman Ncube Goodrich Chimbaira, who was suspended from the party yesterday, rejoined the MDCT today.
And the High Court has granted the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, permission to stage national protests against the country's crippling economic downturn.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.